Well, please have Matthew 16 open in front of you. Just over 500 days ago, 239 people, they thought they were going to have an ordinary day's travelling. They'd rushed to the airport, they'd gone through all the different checks and passport control and security and all that sort of thing. They'd boarded their flight and they took off. But if they knew what would happen to that flight, MH370, they would never have boarded. Today, the Australian government is still looking for the wreckage. They think it's somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. But that plane, it just disappeared. It just vanished. Of course, on that day, some people may have missed the flight. And for those of you who have ever missed a flight, you know it's the most inconvenient thing in the world, isn't it? With a few people nodding. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to miss your flight, but just imagine if you'd miss MH370. You'd be upset at first, wouldn't you? But then when the news reports came in, you would see God's wonderful hand of protection on your life. And you'd realise that you had been very, very fortunate. Today I can guarantee that if those passengers who had boarded knew what was going to happen to their flight, they would have broken the windows to have gotten off. Because everyone understands, don't they, that when it comes to journeys, it's not just how you start off, it's where you're going that's really important. It's the destination that you're going to which is absolutely critical. Spiritually, everyone in this world starts off seated on flight MH370. Everyone is there. They're on a journey to nowhere. They may think that they're going to have a really good time. They may be excited at the prospect of going on the flight. They may be terrified at the prospect of going on the flight. They may be looking forward to the in-flight entertainment, those free films, and the food and drink, or maybe just a good long sleep. All of them, however they feel, whatever they want to do, wherever they think they're going, all of them are doomed. Their only hope is the gospel call. And the gospel calls people to get off that plane before it is too late. Turn to Jesus, be saved, have a future, have a different journey and a different destination. And in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 27, Jesus is explaining about the journey that the Christian is going on. And it's a journey that's full of surprises. Last week, when we were looking at these verses before, where Jesus was talking about how he was going to go to Jerusalem, how he was going to be rejected, how he was going to die, it was a huge surprise to the disciples. They thought that the Messiah was going to just sweep the Romans out of occupied Palestine, that it was going to be a walk of glory. But Jesus, he knew the journey he was on, and he knew the destination. He knew that after the cross came the resurrection. It was the destination which was absolutely critical for him. He knew that he had to go through this so that people could have the opportunity of getting off that plane. And now he turns to his disciples, this small band of followers, and he starts talking about their journey. And he starts talking about their destination as well. This must have been so hard for the disciples to hear. Remember, this is before the cross. We're the other side of the cross. We look back on this and we see the whole big picture. For this group of men, they were being so challenged in so many different ways. And it sounded really hard. But they had to see not just the journey, they had to see the destination as well. And for us as Christians today, we need to be very aware of the destination that we're going to, because that influences the way that we travel this journey of life that we're on, how we serve the Lord in this life. Now, in this passage, we have to remember that Jesus is not talking to the vast crowds of people that he sometimes talks to. He's gone all the way up north and he's there in private with his disciples. These are the people who have already heeded the call to get off the plane. So he's talking here to people who are Christians. And that means that there's no mention of the fate of those who are still on the plane, of those who refuse to listen, those who refuse to get off. These people will just disappear. They will be swallowed up in God's righteous judgment. People who have ignored their conscience, who have rejected God's rescue plan that he's put into place for them. And right now, if that's you, if you're still seated on that plane, if you haven't heard that call to get off the plane, then I urge you to get off the plane before it's too late. Because we all know with the flights, don't we? The doors close, the plane starts taxiing. You can't get off at that point. You may still have a long journey to go, but you can't get off. The opportunity to get off that plane is now, today. Don't leave it tomorrow because the doors might close. And it might be too late for you. So if you're still on that doomed plane, on that doomed flight, then I urge you, get off while you still can and go to a different destination, what the Lord is offering to people. This is what it means to become a Christian. It just involves turning to Jesus, asking for forgiveness, and saying, you know, I've lived my life in the wrong way beforehand. Before now, I've done all sorts of things wrong. I don't want to do those things again. I apologize for them. And I trust that you will forgive me. I trust that what you did on that cross was enough to wipe the slate completely clean. If that's you, put your trust in him before the doors close and you go soaring off on the flight to nowhere. So Jesus, that call has been made to the crowds. People have responded. He's now talking to his disciples, people who are off the plane. And, you know, it's one of those things with being a Christian. We talk so much about becoming a Christian. We often don't talk that much about what comes afterwards. But when you become a Christian, it's like walking through a door into a new life. It's not a hurdle. You can't jump over the hurdle and get the benefits of the new life. It's a door that you've got to walk through. You walk through that door into the new life. What comes next? And here Jesus is starting to talk about what comes next. And he's talking about the destination and he's talking about the journey in this passage. And what's very clear, the destination is really, really worth it. So I want us to think about the destination first and then we'll think about the journey. So let's have a look there at verse 27. In our passage. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. That sounds like good, that sounds good, doesn't it? We need to be people who see the destination, people who see the big picture, who see everything, because that gives us the strength that we need to go through any difficulties that we have today. We've got to be able to see where it is we are going. And here, this is a key point, isn't it? We've got this picture of that great day when the Lord Jesus returns in glory and honour. He's going to be far more than the disciples' expectations at this time. They thought he was just going to conquer the Romans. No, he's going to completely clean this world, get rid of all sin. He has absolute authority, absolute power in absolutely everything. And he's coming back. And maybe he's coming back soon as well. This is looking forward to that day. That day when people will be resurrected, when the sea will give up its dead, when those in graves will come back to life. He will gather together every person, and each and every person will stand before him, and they will be separated into the sheep and the goats. And the goats are the ones who are on the doomed flight, and they will go to God's righteous judgment. While the sheep, they're the ones who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, we see him talking to them. And each and every person is going to appear before God. And they're going to be evaluated. They're going to be audited. They're going to see how they've done. Their salvation is secure. It's guaranteed. But then he's going to look at each person. And it talks here clearly about rewards, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound scary? It really does. Each one of us is going to be examined and checked to see how things have worked out. But Look at the one who's doing the checking. Look at the one. There. It's the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the one who is doing the checking. And that means the one who is seeing how we've done with what we've been given is the one who loves us so much he bled and died for us. He loves us incredibly. And he's the one who is going to be evaluating us. Isn't that encouraging? That's really encouraging. So it sounds daunting, but it's not going to be anywhere near as bad as we think. We've already passed the test. It's just looking at how we've lived in this life. And the thing is, as we've lived in this life, are we going to get a gold star? That's the question that we've got. Are we going to get a gold star? So what has Christ done for us? Well, what's God done for us? First of all, God has created this world. He sustains this world. The life that we have comes from God. He has given us all these different good things. You know, families, and you know, we live in a country at the moment which is just filled with the Lord's blessing. We've got food in the shops, we've got clean water, we've got healthcare, we've got education. Huge numbers of blessing that each and every person gets. And then we think about what the Lord has done for us. He left heaven, came down to this earth, lived that life, died that death so that we could be forgiven. How are we going to respond to this love which he has shown us? Are we just going to, you know, say, okay, thanks very much, and then do our own thing? Or are we going to live the sort of life that he wants us to live? Surely the right thing to do is to lead that life that he wants us to live, to walk in the way that he wants to. And that means it's going to be difficult, but remember the destination. Remember where we're going. We're going to heaven. We're going to that place where the glory never fades. You know, the heaven or the new heavens and the new earth, that time when we will be able to see Jesus face to face, that time when we'll be gathered together as part of the church through all time, worshipping and praising him forever. A place where there's going to be no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more tears. A place that's going to be wonderful beyond our comprehension. You know, it says in Scripture, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived. These are the things that God has prepared for those who love him. This is where we're going. We've got to remember that as we start to think about how we live for him today in this world. So the destination sounds wonderful. What have we got to do? Well, we see this being unpacked in the earlier verses. And there's two things there. First of all, we've got to deny ourselves, and then we've got to take up our cross. And both of these sound like hard work, but we've got to remember the destination. They are worth it. All of us need to be a bit more heavenly minded. Sometimes we hear that phrase, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly use. And because of that, many Christians have become so earthly minded that they're of no heavenly use at all. We need to get the balance right. We need to be aware of where we're going. Because as Christians, if we're just earthly minded, that's a terrible, terrible place to be. We need to be people who are heavenly minded, people who are in this world, but not of this world. And that involves these two things, denying ourselves and taking up our cross. And in many ways, denying ourselves, that just seems to be the harder of the two. Because when we become Christians, we're forgiven of our sins and all sorts of things happen. We're justified, we're adopted. We walk through that door and enter into this new life. But then we very quickly discover that we've got a few things hanging on as well. First of all, we've still got our old sinful bodies which keep on tempting us. Those old temptations, they rise up and they put all sorts of pressure on us. Things that we do wrong that we desperately don't want to do. Things that we'd love to do, but we don't have the guts to do it. All these things sort of crowd in upon us and try and hold us back. And then we live in a sinful world. We're surrounded by so many different forms of temptation. You know, you just walk down the street, there's adverts for this, adverts for that. You know, there's all sorts of things. There's the betting shop, there's the pub. There's so many different things which we know we should have been going into, but they're there, tempting us, tantalizing us. And then we've got a spiritual enemy as well. Now Satan's out there, and he wants to make us fall. He wants to make us useless as Christians. So we've got all this arrayed against us, working within us to try and make us, you know, fall back into the old style of living. We've got to deny ourselves. We've got to deny these things. We've got to pray that the Lord gives us the strength. No, Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. We need to be praying these things on a daily basis so that we can avoid those areas that we're weak, so we can avoid chance situations which just come along and whoop, something happens and we go the wrong way and then we kick ourselves going, why on earth did I do that? That's what life's like, isn't it? You know, it's that snap decision. We need to be people who are actively trying to deny that old sinful nature and denying the things of this world. What does this world say that you need to be happy? Oh, you need to be loved, you need to have lots of money, a nice big car. We're not motivated by that sort of thing. We should be motivated by our relationship with the Lord and the things that He wants us to do. So we have to lay those things aside as well. So many different temptations. And the thing is, if we went around this room and talked about, honestly, about the areas we were tempted in, you know, everyone would be something different. We're all tempted in so many different ways. And that means it's a different walk for different people. We need to be people who deny ourselves, standing strong when the world tempts us. You can think of it a little bit like this. Let's use a boxing analogy. And as Christians, when we become Christians, we're called into the ring. And if we refuse to deny ourselves, we're not coming out of our corner and we're not putting our guard up. We need to be people who step out and bravely take it on, weaving and ducking and diving and doing all those other things against those temptations in our life so that we can overcome them. And the thing is, with the Lord's help, we will overcome them. But it's hard work. It takes effort, it takes energy, and it is so very, very difficult because we are strangers in this world. I don't know if you've ever felt a real sort of stranger, a foreigner in a foreign land or something like that. I'm sure some of you have. I've shared the illustration before about a time when I was out in Ndola in Zambia, and I was left guarding all of our purchases outside of the shop. In the shop set, they always check your bags when you go in and when you go out, and I had to take the bags off you, and we had stuff that would have been stolen. So I was left outside the shops with all this gear. And I remember being the only white face on that street, and that's a very strange feeling. It really is. It really helps me to sympathise with some of these people who come into our land. We're a strange lot, we are. We do some really weird things. So we can really sympathise with these people from other lands. But for me, it was a very valuable experience. And that's how Christians should be in this sinful world. It should feel strange. We shouldn't be comfortable leading a life of sin. We should feel that it's different. We're immersed in the culture. We can't get out of it. But we need to be people who are different. People who are leading a different sort of life. We've got a different destination to the people of the world who refuse to listen to Jesus. We're on a different journey and we need to be different in our lives. So we deny ourselves and we take up our cross. That's the other thing, taking up our cross. First century Palestine, to take up your cross was a death sentence. This is the person who's on death row, who's being led out of his cell and down to the room where they're going to give a lethal injection. It is the moment before execution. That's what we're looking at here. And they used to parade them through the streets, and everyone knew what was going to happen to them. And everyone would know that they had been found guilty of a capital offence. They were criminals. These were the people who were the murderers, the people who did all sorts of things which were diabolical. And they were publicly paraded for everyone to see. Imagine this poor disciple's shock when he tells them to take up their cross. Absolutely awful. They must have really struggled with that. But the pages of church history tell us that three of the disciples were crucified. Now, most of them, only John, we think, died of old age. All the others gave their life for the Lord. But three of them died from crucifixion, including Peter, according to church traditions. So one day those people would physically take up their cross. For us today, we live in a more civilized age, and that's a great blessing. But we still have to take up our cross. Here in the UK, we don't have the persecution that Christians in other parts of the world do. We know what happens in other parts of the world. We know that many Christians have to make that ultimate sacrifice for the Lord. We don't have to face that. But we still have to take up our cross. To be a Christian means that people may think that you're, a few pennies short or something like that. Or you're just a really weak person who needs a psychological crutch. Or you're someone who just doesn't understand science or anything like that. And, Christianity, it's all been disproved. You're not quite all there. And there's that sort of thing. And people do get persecuted for being Christians. I heard recently about how some school teachers had to step in and protect some pupils because they made a stand for traditional marriage. And, some of the other pupils were going to bully them over that. It's there. You make a stand for Christ, and this world will try and push you down. And the simple reason for that is that deep down at some level, people know that it's right. It's there. We're all made in the image of God. And when they see people doing the right thing, and you're doing the wrong thing, human nature is to try and get rid of the right thing so that the wrong thing is unchallenged. So as Christians, you don't have to be an in-your-face evangelist to be persecuted. You've just got to be living the Christian life and things can come down on your head. So just bear that in mind, because sometimes people will say things to us, do things to us, simply because we're being Christians. And you may not understand it, but at some level, they're being convicted because of the way that you live your life. That's taking up our cross. That's denying ourselves. It is really, really difficult stuff for us to do. We need to be prepared for it. This is the journey that we're called to. We have to remember the destination. We have to remember where it is that we're going and where it is that the people of the world are going. Because we're going to eternity, aren't we? That's where we're going. And we see this being brought out, really, in the next couple of verses. Where it says, "What good will it do for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here Jesus is talking about eternity. He's talking about how these things are really, really worth it. In this life, you can go out there. You can get every academic degree that's going. You can get all the money in the world. You can be loved by the people. You can have a great reputation. But if you're not right with the Lord, you're on MH370, that flight to nowhere. You're doomed to oblivion. The things of this world are passing. It's just a short period of time. Some of us have 30 years, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100. Compared to eternity, it's a tiny, tiny piece of time. But it is an absolutely critical time. Lengthwise, this life may be insignificant. But what happens in this life decides where we go for eternity. There's no second chances. Once the doors are closed and the plane has taken off, that's it. And we need to think what is most important to us. The things that we possess, that we're going to end up being given to someone else, because everything that you have will be passed to other people. A lot of it will end up down the charity shop. Yeah, people are nodding there. That's what tends to happen to a lot of our possessions and things that gets sent off to charity. The next generation may not even value them. What's really important to you? Who you are. And where you spend eternity. What good will it do a man if he owns everything and yet forfeits his soul? no good whatsoever. We need to get off that flight. Now, getting off that flight may expose you to ridicule. The people who are still on the plane, they look down at you on the tarmac and they go, what are you doing? You know, you're absolutely mad. But you know the destination and all the goods of this world, they're piled in the hold of that flight. They're going the same place. So we might as well just leave them behind. We need to be motivated by the things of the Lord, going the way that he wants us to do, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and calling others to get off that flight. Because there could very well be people that we love and care for, and we long to see them down safely on the tarmac with the Lord Jesus. Difficult in the short term, a boxing match that we've got against people. People persecuting us, saying that you're absolutely mad. But think about the destination. Think about where we are going. So, as Christians, as people who have gotten off that flight, what have we got to do about it? We need to be a bit more heavenly minded, don't we? We need to be thinking how we use our time, how we use our resources, asking ourselves the difficult questions. Are we denying ourselves in the way that the Lord wants us to? Or are there still areas of weakness? Do we need to spend time praying to the Lord, asking for help in certain areas? Do we need to avoid situations which we know are going to cause us to do things wrong? That's a good thing to do. If you've got a weakness, avoid the situation, whatever it is. We need to be people who are ready to take up our cross. We need to be expecting hardship and difficulties from this world. And it is difficult. But the Lord has not only saved us, he's called us into his church. And we're here together as a group to support and encourage one another, to build each other up, to be that shoulder to cry on, to be that helping hand. This is why we're gathering together as a body of believers, not only to praise and worship him, to learn from his word, but to support one another. He's called us into this family. So as a Christian, you know, maybe you should come along to a few more meetings if you don't come along to as many as you possibly can. Now, you don't have to come to every meeting, but if you're only coming to one meeting a week, why not come along to two? We've got another service tonight. In fact, tonight we're looking at Philippians chapter 1, and it's actually a very similar message to what we're looking at this morning as well. So the Lord's arranged it really for the two to come together. In your own time, how do you use your time? Do you spend as much time reading God's word and praying as you'd like to? Do we? I could say hands up who thinks they should read the Bible more and pray more. And I would hope that pretty much everyone would put their hands up. So we know, don't we, that we're not doing it enough, that we could be doing more. Now have the courage to turn off the TV, to not read the paper, to spend a little bit less time on Facebook, and a little bit more time digging into God's word, praying, reading good Christian books which build us up and strengthen us. People who deny ourselves and take up our cross. And we do this because we know what our destination is. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to stand before the Lord. And on that day, wouldn't it be wonderful to get that gold star? Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.